Hopkins. Bryant for the win.
Interviews from your favorite local coaches and athletes.
He's getting to the basket of will, and he's hitting that three-point shot with some consistency now, and he's just in a groove right now where he's pretty well unstoppable.
Hall of Fame and legendary guests.
I was driven by loving to play, liking the challenge of being an NFL quarterback, but after 18 years, I was 1 month short of 39 years old. It's time to go.
Analysis and insight on the latest national sports topics. Live from the Auto Farm Studios, it's Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
We're back for another edition of Drive Time Sports. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini, alongside Travis Anderson. We've reached the end of the week. It's Friday, and there is plenty to get into today, both on the local and national front. Last night, high school basketball season. It began right here on KOAL, the Emory Spartans, topping American Heritage 68-54. We'll recap that game for you in just a moment. Of course, you can listen to the complete post-game interview with Coach Cincinnatus. You can also get your complete game recap right now at CastleCountryRadio.com. Tonight, we have more high school basketball. The Carbon Dino Boys Squad, they'll begin their season at home against Mazer Prep. Live coverage of that game will be on KRPX 95.3 The Peak. That'll begin at 6:30. Sonny Buscarini, Travis Anderson will bring you the play-by-play call there. So plenty of local sports to get into. We will be joined momentarily over the phone by Coach Jared Butler. We'll set the stage for tonight's game. And Travis, I know you're excited to call tonight's contest. High expectations for this Dino basketball team, and rightfully so. Six seniors, solid senior group. Expectations are high.
Yeah, if you look at it, I think they picked second behind Richfield, if you look at the preseason kind of projections. So Carbon's right there behind Richfield, and we always know that Richfield's going to have a very good basketball team. And Carbon right there, going to battle with Richfield. Emory solid last night. Listen to that. You guys did a great job. So it's going to be a lot of fun with these teams.
Yeah, we'll talk more high school ball a little bit later on in the show. We'll also talk NBA because schedules, first half schedules have been released. So we'll look into the Utah Jazz and what the early future holds for them. Travis, some of the big news in the NBA, and I didn't have an opportunity to really dive into this heavily, was the idea that Russell Westbrook is now on his way out of Houston. He's going to Washington, John Wall to the Rockets, and the Rockets also net a first-round pick. Wall said it was shocking, but he likes the fit. Or excuse me, Bradley Beal said it was shocking, but he likes the fit with Russell Westbrook. There was really only one way this trade could have worked. There was only one way Houston was getting rid of Russell Westbrook. There was only one way Washington was getting rid of John Wall. It had to be between these two teams. Did anyone win this trade?
Maybe Washington.
Washington's just better.
Just because Russell, if you thought Russell Westbrook was a bad fit with James Harden, wait till you see with John Wall, because at least Westbrook would crash the boards and go for offensive rebounds. John Wall's not going to do that. It's a bad fit for Houston.
It's one of those deals where it's like a Hail Mary trying to keep James Harden. And look, I've said this a million times, and I'll go back to it. I would not trade James Harden.
No.
I would not move him. He's not in the final year of his contract. He's got two remaining. You have all the leverage in the world if you're Houston. Unless someone knocks down the door with a sweetheart deal that you absolutely, positively cannot refuse, you keep him, right? I'm morbidly curious to see how this works with John Wall.
Yeah, so am I, just because he hasn't played basketball since 2018, you know, December of 2018. We really haven't seen him on the floor, but I just think he's a bad fit. I mean, Westbrook was a bad fit. Wall's even worse.
It's been 710 days since we last saw John Wall play basketball.
Crazy,
a long
huh?
time, yeah.
It's been a long time, and we don't know what we're going to get out of that guy, because coming off that injury, the explosiveness, it's not going to be there as it once was.
Yeah, you have no idea what this is going to look like. So we will talk more NBA a little bit later, but I want to focus on the schedules. Again, the Utah Jazz, they have their schedule released. We'll dive into that. We'll also talk college football. It is a big Saturday. Ohio State today confirmed that it will play tomorrow's game at Michigan State. COVID issues within the program have improved. Ohio State number 4, they're flying to East Lansing. and they're doing that tonight, apparently. They canceled last week's game against Illinois hours before the scheduled kickoff because of the rise in COVID cases. Ryan Day tested positive late last week. He will not coach the Michigan State game. Ohio State has not revealed specific numbers or names regarding recent positive COVID tests, and they won't. But they also had a game canceled earlier this season against Maryland. They have to play Saturday, and they have to play next week to qualify for the Big Ten Championship. The league requires a minimum of 6, so this was an absolute must. Give me your honest opinion. Does Michigan play that game next week?
I mean, Herb Street came out and pretty much said that they might duck, right? So
he said it. Yeah, he said it. He apologized for it, but he still said it.
Yeah, but I think he was right. I don't think they're going to play that game. I'm going to go on the side that they're not going to play that game, and I think Herb Street was onto something because that guy is well involved with college football. He knows. He has his sources. It's not like he made that up. So I think he's onto something, and I don't think that game's played.
If you're the Big Ten, do you stick to your original guidelines, or do they change? I think they change.
I think they will adapt, and they will change.
Yes, they will. They will find a way to get Ohio State in the Big Ten Championship. Because let's be real, if Ohio State plays 5 games, I don't know if the College Football Playoff Committee should consider them for a spot. I really don't.
Yeah.
That was the question about the Pac-12. Remember, they're not going to play enough games. You can't consider Oregon. You can't consider USC. They're not going to play enough games. You can't consider Ohio State if they play 5 games. They have to play next week, and they have to play in the Big Ten Championship. That's the only way they get in.
I'm with you, and I agree, and I just don't think that's going to happen. I think that next week that game is not played.
Oh, man, that's going to be something to watch over the next little while. I think Harbaugh's done in Michigan anyway.
Yeah, he's wore out his welcome in the college ranks, and now the NFL teams will come calling. So
maybe so. Maybe so. Speaking of the NFL, how about the Baltimore Ravens? It's been a real downward spiral for this team all season long. To no surprise, we saw Lamar Jackson take steps back, and I'm not saying that Lamar Jackson's not a great quarterback, but regression...
Teams adjust,
right? Regression was... It was noted. We expected it. Now they're down Lamar Jackson because he tested positive for COVID. He could get activated off the list this weekend. We don't know yet. Now the Ravens have to place RG3 on injured reserve after he injured his hamstring in the game Wednesday against Pittsburgh. The Ravens right now are fighting for their playoff lives, and that leaves them Trace McSorley as the only quarterback on the 53-man roster. Tyler Huntley is on the practice squad, former Ute man. If Jackson is medically cleared Sunday, he would get a play against the Cowboys. It's a Tuesday night contest. That's not a very good team. That's not a very good team in Dallas. I'm curious to see what happens with this whole deal, but I'll tell you, it's been one thing after another for the Baltimore Ravens. One thing after another. It's not good.
Yeah, a lot of pundits picked that team to make the Super Bowl, and they're not... Are they going to make the playoffs?
That's a legit question.
I mean, that's a coin flip the way things are going. Are they even going to make the playoffs?
Buffalo, Miami, Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Tennessee, Indianapolis, Kansas City. That's your 7 playoff squads
right now. And those teams right there are playing better football than the Ravens.
It's a quick look at what's happening in the national sports front. We're going to break for just a moment. We'll give you the local sports recap in just a second. And again, Coach Jared Butler is going to join us over the phone. We'll continue to talk college football. We'll talk NFL, and we'll look at the Jazz schedule. That's all coming up on this edition of Drive Time Sports. We're back right after this.
What you listening to?
Big Sports Radio Guy.
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss things.
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
The Carbon High School basketball season began yesterday afternoon. The Lady Dinos rolled to a victory over South Summit. You can get your complete recap on that game right now at CastleCountryRadio.com. Lady Dinos, again, will take the court tonight. And also, we'll see the boys' basketball team. This will be a home tilt against Mazer Prep. A little bit later than we expected. Here we are, December 4th, but the season's finally off and rolling tonight. Joining us to talk about that and more right now, we have head coach Jared Butler over the phone. And, Coach, I appreciate the time as always. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Jordan.
Coach, it was about a month ago. You and I were talking over the phone here on the show about the tryouts, and now a month later, we're actually getting the games rolling. It's not as if you had a month to work with these kids. You know, we saw this last night in the Emory game. It's quick. Everything's kind of condensed, but these games count, and I think that's the important thing, right? I mean, region play is still a little ways off, but with the RPI, a short period of time to get these kids prepared, but tonight's game counts.
Yeah, it sure does, and we're doing our best to be as prepared as we can, I'm sure, as every other school is. But it's way interesting, there's no doubt about that.
Now, what are some of the things, Coach, that you really put an emphasis on, knowing that you weren't going to have a lot of time to prepare for tonight's contest?
We just wanted to hone in the first practice. What did we get, three practices or so, and really look at our defensive rotations. Just and this group is pretty solid at that. Whether we can get them to really get out and be aggressive as we want them to is going to be something we'll watch for. But I'm excited to see. I think they've been working really hard that way. But then after that, we've really been trying to hone down a few of our sets and get some things just as sound as we can, so that we'll offensively be prepared for whether we see a zone or a man, or we even had to throw in a little bit in case we see some pressure, full court or whatnot. I'm not sure. I've only seen three old films on Mesa Prep from 2 years ago. Didn't have anything from them last year. So mostly I've been worrying about us right now. So,
as you mentioned, maybe seeing a press at some point in time, one of the things that has got to ease your mind a little bit, Coach, is you have a starting five that is very, very experienced. These kids have been around, and because of that, there's some pretty high expectations surrounding the basketball team this year.
Yeah, I hope we have that as well. I hope it's something we can bring some confidence in, and the majority of these seniors have seen quite a bit of time on the varsity level, and then we have two or four juniors that have as well. And then this year I'm hoping to get some help from three or four sophomores. So I'm hoping to see a really experienced team this year that's just ready to, and that's what's been, reassuring this week is, especially with this older group of seniors, they're really smart kids, and they pick up quickly on being reminded of what we've done in the past or tweaking something for this team, and that's been exciting to see. Now, if we can just put it together in a game now, that'll be what we're looking for. So,
one of the things, Coach, that stands out to me is there's complementary size. I mean, every now and then this Carbon basketball team has had a kid with some decent size that could play in the middle, but it's always lacked complementary size. And if we take a look at the front court, I think you have that this year between Keenan Hatch and Preston Condi, and these are two kids that got a lot of varsity time last year. It's been a little while since we've been able to say that.
Yeah, it's interesting, too. You know, when you see heights, that's part of our tryouts, is I actually do measure them, and I know they're in their shoes, but Keenan's right at 6'10", and Preston, he's right up there at 6'5", just under 6'5", and then every other starter is over 6 foot, with Max coming off the bench, and he's been very impressive with the things he's done. So he's going to take a lot of time, and he's really athletic with his jumping ability. So we're long too. I mean, we do their arms as well. Some of them are actually longer with their arms than they are with their height, which is interesting as well. But yeah, it should help us. I hope we can use that.
Yeah, I mean, Coach, if we go back to your time as an assistant or a JV coach at Emory, it was one thing that you always had. You always had a big, and going back to your kids, they were complementary bigs playing off of one another. How does that change what you do this season compared to last, or does it at all?
It should, yeah. And I'm hoping, and that's something we haven't even, I mean, there's a couple of real quick sets that we have with those two, but we have some high-low deals that I want to throw in this year with those two, because both of them have great hands, and if they can utilize each other, and if a team on some of the plays or sets, if they, you know, obviously want to switch,
it shouldn't hurt us at all if the other will just seal and work that way. And there's some things we should be able to capitalize on. So that's an exciting thing as well.
Again, our guest right now is Coach Jared Butler of the Carbon Dino basketball team. Coach, we talked about the front court. We could talk about the back court. You got some kids that really play hard basketball, including Americ Morgan or Caleb Winfrey. I mean, again, these are kids that got a lot of time at the JV. Some of them got a lot of time at the varsity level. When you look at the back court this year, from a maturity standpoint, have you noticed a big difference?
Yes. Caleb, he's been doing a great job running the point for us. His thing in the past has been his effort on defense, and we've worked on that. As of right now, it's looking really good. And sometimes it's just a little reminder of that, and then he'll have kids pushing him, you know, if he doesn't. But Merrick Morgan is our hardest worker, you know, that he just is always in the correct position. He's out leading the ladders every day, leading our conditioning. He is just a fierce defender. He's long with his arms. He anticipates well. He should be fun seeing those two up top. Noah can play up top as well, but he's going to be playing down lower. He is our fierce player. You know, he brings a little grit to this team, and so where some of the others don't quite have as much of that. And if Noah will get his confidence, the sky's the limit for him. He can come off and just shoot with extreme accuracy. He plays great defense. And then, you know, with our two bigs, and like I talked about Max earlier, but then we have Jordan Fawcett that's really a solid, savvy player at the point. And then Ryland Hart right now, he's got a rolled ankle, but, you know, if you've ever watched him, he's just a fierce, gritty player that just gives everything he has. You know, Jackson Griffith's going to help us. He's coming off a back injury, but when he gets healthy, he is an all-around player that's just exciting, and they just get after that junior class. They just play hard, and it's really going to help us through our practices, you know, that they get pushed. And it helps our whole team. So I'm excited. I just hope we can put it all together and that we'll make this work.
If we look at the revised schedule, Coach, once we get past tonight's game against Mazer, three games in 3 days next week at Delta, at Uinta, and then home against North St. Pete. When you look at the travel schedule there, well, it's going to be a real grueling test for this team. And honestly, when I look at the schedule, I like it, because if you're going to compete for a state championship, you have to be able to overcome a grueling schedule. And I don't know if you'll find more of an opportunity for a kid to get travel logged than that three-game stretch.
Yeah, and then turn right around and play Monday and Tuesday, you know, and then back again Friday. It is. We looked at it as a staff, and we were just glad to get the games. You know, I've heard of other teams who've had to lose games this year, and we were able to reschedule, and so we'll have a full schedule. And we take that as, you know, I mean, practice is a practice, and there will be things for 5 days in a row we can't fix in a practice, but a game is, you know, you can't replace that. So, and I hate to take games from these kids. You know, everything else has been taken from them with the fans and everything else. It's just, that's what we decided to do, and we'll see, you know, but at least we're playing is the way we looked at it.
Yeah, no question. No question. I mean, it's kind of surreal that the season is finally here, Coach. It's one of those deals where, the expectations, from a spectator standpoint, a media standpoint, they do have to be tempered a little bit. So tonight, what are the expectations that you've set for this team and something that you look at and say, look, we have to accomplish this, knowing that there are a million of excuses that kids could use, but still the task at hand?
Defense. You can always just play a fierce, aggressive defense, and then to out-rebound. I'm hoping that can be a goal for every single night we play. I remember a big Grantsville team, if they bring back some of those kids I watched last year. But, I mean, there will be a few teams that we're outsized with, but we, out of our guards especially, we'll stress that. And those two things, if we take care of those, and then, you know, there's going to be some rust on the offense. That's just going to happen with every team. But if we can do those things, I think I'll be excited tonight.
if we talk about the glasses, with this team and the physical abilities that they possess, Coach, is it as simple as saying just use your basketball IQ and don't get out of hustle and you should be fine on the glass? It's really that simple, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, but it's also it's an effort thing, you know, and you can watch it, Jordan. You know, you've seen more basketball than I have, but you can just see when a kid has a nose for it and they get it. It's just about their ability to just every single time compete and go for that. That's all it is knowing, okay, yeah, you know which side it should be bouncing off, but getting your body to get there. And then the kids that have it, they shine, and the ones that have to be coached on it all the time, eventually it catches up with them. And if they don't do that side of it by the time they're a varsity squad, it usually doesn't do too well for them. So that's one thing I stress a ton with Jordan, is they have to want to be in the mix and chase that ball every time it goes up.
Well, I'm definitely looking forward to the contest tonight, Coach. Finally, some high school basketball to get excited about. I really appreciate you taking out the time, and we'll see you at the game.
All right. Thank you, Jordan.
Do not forget, live coverage of tonight's contest will begin at 6:30 p.m. on KRPX 95.3 The Peak. You can also stream the game live at CastleCountryRadio.com. We're going to break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return. We'll talk NFL. We'll talk college football. It's all straight ahead.
Now, this Castle Country local sports interview on News Talk 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM KOAL.
Last night on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM, the Emory Spartan boys basketball team opened up the brand new season with a 68-54 win over American Heritage in American Fork. Following the victory, we caught up with head coach Jeff Cincinnatus, who earned his first win in his first game as head coach. Coach, congratulations on picking up your first win.
Thanks. It's been a long time coming here, and it's a good one to get off our back off right out of the gate. So kids worked hard. We've got a lot of stuff that we've seen we need to work on, but anytime you come away with a win, especially in a season like we've had already to start, you know, I got to be excited for our kids.
Yeah, you wondered what the team would actually look like tonight just based on the lack of time, the lack of practice time. I mean, everything was full head of steam, as we talked about yesterday, you know, going into the first week of November, and then we're halted. Coach, you have these kids for, well, you don't even have these kids for a week. I mean, you guys get to in the gym, you get some time, but nonetheless, all things considered, how happy were you as far as the fluidness of tonight's game?
Oh, I'm extremely happy. Like you said, I haven't been able to practice with them all week because of the virus and myself. So, I mean, I haven't had a day with them since, you know, last week after tryouts. So, you know, that's important. It's important for us to get with each other so they know what to expect from me, and I get a better feel for what they're going to do on the floor. And we've seen that at times tonight. We were really good, and at times we were just awful. But, you know, that's the good thing about your first game and about being able to have preseason games, is to work on these things before we get to region. And, you know, we've seen a lot of guys get on the floor tonight. We're going to see other guys jump on the floor. We've got some guys that are out because of the virus. We're missing three players. We'll get them back here in the next few days. But I'm excited for our guys to get this win. I mean, we didn't even know if we were going to have a season. So for them to come out tonight and play hard and do some good things, I'm extremely excited for them.
Well, let's talk about some of the top performers tonight. We'll begin with Trevin Brazier. Boy, he was phenomenal to start this game. Anytime you have one individual player light it up from beyond the arc, but it's easy for the rest of the guys to get excited and then a little bit more comfortable, and it seemed like that happened early on in the game. Trevin's success offensively kind of put the rest of the other four guys at ease.
Yeah, he's a tremendous athlete. You know, Trevin can get to the basket if he wants. He can create his own shot. He's one of the few guys we have that, you know, if the ball's in his hands, I know he can create an opportunity for himself or for others. But for him to come out, you know, and hit a couple early threes kind of opened things up for us. We got to get better. We missed a ton of layups down low. I think we're just rushing our shot. You know, I mean, this was a decent-sized team that we played tonight, but we're going to play a lot bigger teams, and we just can't rush our shots. We got to finish around the rim. But, you know, again, I'm just lots of stuff to build on. Every aspect of our game we can get better on, and that's the exciting part.
Riggs Griffin tonight scores 20 points, and Riggs, I thought, was very good once again mid-range. I mean, that's what he brought to the table last year. It's something that you don't see too often anymore. You know, at the high school level, it seems like it's a three-point shot or if it's in the paint, but Riggs can really spread things out, and Coach, he can knock down a 15, 16-footer consistently.
Yeah, it's been a long time since I've coached a kid who excels at that mid-range game, and he is definitely one of them. you know, every time he pulls up on a dime, you know, I kind of, you know, I'm thinking that's a terrible shot, but for him, it's his best shot. And so, you know, he'll have that green light all year long to hit that shot because that's what he works on. And, you know, he's another offensively skilled person. The ball's going to be in his hands a lot. I think he had a few too many turnovers tonight. But, again, he's putting the ball in his hands a lot, and he's trying to make things happen, and I'm okay with that. We just, you know, we'll work on things that'll put us in better situations to not turn the ball over.
As far as the rotation goes, you mentioned being without two or three kids tonight that will play a vital role. How long is it going to take you, Coach, to find a rotation, at least in your eyes, that you're comfortable with? Okay, we go eight, we go nine men, because ultimately, I mean, a game's only 32 minutes at the high school level. I mean, that's not a lot of time.
You know, I don't know. I don't know if I can put a time on it right now. I'm just looking for guys to go out and play hard. I don't think we have a big drop-off when we have any sub come in and fill in for somebody. So, I mean, there's nights when we may win a game with, you know, six or seven guys, and there may be nights when it takes 15 or 16 guys. And it's just going to depend on the game. It's going to depend on a lot of things. And, you know, tonight I think we went probably 10 or 11 deep for the most part. Some guys got in there at the end. But, you know, I mean, ultimately – you know, I can see us using 10 guys on any given night to help keep us fresh, keep us out of foul trouble. And, again, I don't care how many guys it takes. As long as you come away with a W, it doesn't really matter.
That's exactly what you did tonight. Emory picks up the win, 68-54 over American Heritage. Coach, we'll talk about some of the dirty things, that have been, the cleanup things down low. I mean, you had a couple of kids that I thought just played really hard-nosed basketball, one of them being Luke Stilson. I mean, this kid is taking a lot of contact down low, a little undersized. Same thing with Bo Cook. And then we see Brett Rasmussen come in, and there's a couple of times where he's diving for balls late in the contest, gets a timeout to save a possession. The bigs definitely battled down low. And you mentioned the size. I mean, Poto Winnetona is a big, big kid that can play from anywhere from 20 to 10 feet away from the basket. These kids, they worked hard down low tonight.
Yeah, I thought we battled extremely hard. I mean, we were undersized, especially down on the block. But, you know, Luke, I mean, he's going to be undersized every night in his position, but, you know, his heart is twice as big as the guy that he's playing against every night. He's going to give you everything he has. And I, you know, Bo needs to just use his athleticism a little more. Bo is wiry. He can do a lot of things, and I just need him to be a little more aggressive and look to score. And these are all things that these guys are going to find their role. And once they do, I really feel good about where we're going to be. It's just right now, finding our role, knowing where we're comfortable, where we're not comfortable, and about me putting him in a situation to succeed.
You can listen to this complete interview with Emory High School boys basketball coach Jeff Centenaris tomorrow during the Landon's Diesel Service pregame show. The Spartans will be at home taking on Juan Diego. Live coverage will begin at 6:30, followed by tip-off at 7.
Hey, what's going on? This is Ron Artest, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan. Listen, you must... say it again. Buscarini. All right. Jordan Buscarini. All right. With Jordan Buscarini. Shout out to Queens, where you already know.
Coming to you live from Price.
Put that cookie down.
Price, Utah.
Now.
Me and my man, Trav.
Yeah!
Love Price. Price is awesome.
Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini and Travis Anderson on KOAL AM 750. Eastern Utah's main source for local sporting news.
We're back on Drive Time Sports. Let's continue on with the basketball talk. Why not? Talk to Coach Butler. Played you a clip of Coach Centenaris' interview from last night. Let's talk NBA. Schedule of the first half of the season was released earlier today. We know the Utah Jazz will open up the season December 23rd at Portland. And one of the nuances to the NBA schedules this year are the two-for-ones, because the NBA wants to minimize travel where it can to keep teams safe and healthy, and there's going to be multiple times this season when teams will face the same opponent in consecutive games. Jazz have to do this. New Orleans, January 19th and 20th. Dallas, January 27th and 29th. And the Clippers, February 17th and 19th. They have six back-to-backs, nine nationally televised games. They have a seven-game road trip that runs from January 3rd through January 13th. They have a six-game homestand from January 19th to January 29th. First home game, December 26th against Minnesota. I'm curious to see the way everything works, just based on the fact that we don't know what the second half of the season looks like yet. That's what makes this so interesting, right? If you have a team that was just pounded
As far as the Lakers got to play 8 games in 14 days to start the season, right?
Yeah, it's a quick turnaround for them.
Well, you know that's not going to be the case the second go around the second half, right? The league's got to fix that.
Yep, it's going to lighten up.
So that's, I think, the most interesting thing for me, to see how the first half differs from the second half, and we don't know what the second half is going to look like.
Yeah, they'll release that, what, later on? Yeah. What, we don't know when they're going to release the second half. Have they said yet? January, February, maybe?
I think it's February.
February. So, yeah. So, it's interesting how you have the, you know, the back-to-back games where you're going to play that same opponent to limit the travel and all that. And then you talked about the long road trip that the Jazz have. So, it's going to be a unique season, and, you know, you're going to have to expect that, you know, COVID's going to hit one of these teams.
Let's hope not. Let's hope not. But, you know, it's happened in the NFL. Look, it's affected a lot of things in the NFL. We were talking about Baltimore to start this show. Baltimore may have Trace McSorley as their quarterback.
Yeah, and that's the thing that we're going to have to watch is if one of these teams, you know, gets hit, hopefully not, that how they're going to have to call up guys, move guys around, and all that sort of thing. So it's just going to be one of those unique seasons without fans in the stands. Some arenas will, some won't. So it's going to be unique.
Okay, so let's look at Utah's first 10 games. Because the first 10 games can always set the pace. Utah will start things off on the road against Portland, win or loss.
That's going to be a loss.
You think?
Yes. I like Portland.
Yeah, maybe because it's at Portland.
At Portland, yeah, on the road, first game. I like Portland.
Home against Minnesota.
That's a win.
Away at Oklahoma City.
That's a win.
Home against Phoenix.
It's a good matchup.
It's a fun matchup.
It's a fun matchup.
Phoenix still, to me, they're still the unknown. I think Phoenix got much better, adding Chris Paul to the backcourt along with Devin Booker. I think they got much better.
Yeah, I'll say that's a win, a close game.
Home against the Clippers.
Loss.
Away against San Antonio.
That's a win.
Away against Brooklyn.
Loss.
Away against New York.
Win.
Away against Milwaukee.
Loss.
Away against Detroit.
Win.
So you have Utah going 6-4. To start their first 10 games.
Yeah, it's not bad. 6-4, 7-3.
Okay. I can buy that. I can buy that. As far as the Jazz getting a crack at LeBron James and the defending champion Lakers, the Lakers go to Vivint February 24th. It's the only time of the first half of the season. The schedule for the second half of the season covering March 11th through May 16th. Again, it's going to be released sometime near the midway point. But the Lakers will go to Vivint on February 24th. It's always a game that Jazz fans really get up for. The rumored slate, it kind of trickles out, so we kind of knew what the Christmas Day games were going to look like. But there are some games in the first half of the season that I'm excited for. Question, what is Kevin Durant's return to Golden State going to be like?
Showered with booze.
You really think they shower him with booze?
I think so. It's what I'm going
to
go with.
Well, we get it right out of the gate. Golden State's actually going to travel to Brooklyn. That's going to be a little bit different. He's obviously not going to get showered with booze. And we don't know. Kevin Durant may never have to play in front of a crowd in California because we don't know what it's going to look like. Clippers, Lakers, that's opening night, 8 p.m. on TNT. We get the Wizards and the 76ers, which has become a really interesting game as Russell Westbrook will make his debut. We get the Bucks and the Celtics, potential Eastern Conference Championship showdown. I don't know what this Celtic team is going to look like. Gordon Hayward gone. Don't forget, Oklahoma City will take on the Houston Rockets. That's on December 3rd at 6 p.m. 2 years since John Wall played his last game. He's going to make his Rockets debut. He's going to play right out of the gate, it seems like.
Right out of the gate, yeah. So like we said, he hasn't played in 700-plus days. So interesting, you know, with that Houston team, who might be, you know, fighting for, you know, 6, 7, 8 seed, maybe that 9th playing game.
I'm going to tell you the game that, one of the games I am most looking forward to start the new NBA season, it's got to be Utah at Denver. Based off of what we saw in that opening round matchup, and Donovan Mitchell, he was beyond good. Jamal Murray. I'm curious. This is one of the games, first half of the season. If you're a Jazz fan, circle January 17th on your calendar. It's can't miss basketball.
Yeah, you know, you get those two with Murray and Mitchell who lit it up in the playoffs. Denver came back from 3-1. So Jazz should be chomping at the bit to get at that game.
Some of the highlights for the first half of the NBA schedule. How to talk NBA, because, well, we've talked a lot of high school basketball. We'll close out the Jazz talk for the week right there. Schedule has been released, and you can get a look at it at NBA.com. We're going to break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up. We'll put the final touches on this week of the show when we return.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750, the play-by-play home of the USU Eastern Eagles.
You have a little bit left here on Drive Time Sports. I want to close out by talking college football. Typically, we do a whole segment on Friday. So much local sports going on. Had to cover that. Travis, let's look at the biggest games in college football as we get down to it. Ohio State, Michigan State, we talked about this earlier. It's a 10 a.m. start time tomorrow. Ohio State needs to avoid cancellations if they're going to play in the Big Ten Championship. All that is just background noise. You have to win what's in front. You have to defeat who's in front of you. And Michigan State at 2-3 is in front of Ohio State. Should not pose much of a challenge, although Michigan State did beat Michigan. And with all the distractions and Ryan Day not being there, is there any chance Michigan State wins this game?
None whatsoever. 0% that happens. Ohio State's going to roll.
It would be different than what Michigan State just did, and that was knocking off Northwestern, who wasn't defeated. This would be a little bit different, no question. Texas A&M. I don't know how you feel about Texas A&M at this point. Number 5 of the college football playoff rankings. 2 blowout wins at Auburn and Tennessee could go a long way as far as maintaining one of the top spots, especially if A&M does not make it to the SEC title game, which I don't believe they're going to. So they need style points. And I think there's an outside chance that Texas A&M could sneak into the playoffs, regardless if it's Notre Dame or Clemson losing the ACC title game. Style points matter right now for Jimbo Fisher and company.
Yeah, they got to get some style points, and tomorrow is a nice opportunity to do so. So like you said, there's an outside chance. If something happens with Ohio State and they don't meet the requirement, there's chance to slide right into that spot.
Yeah, there's 3 marquee wins so far this college football season. Texas A&M over Florida, Notre Dame over Clemson, Bama over A&M.
Yep.
Those are the 3 marquee wins, the 3 biggest games up to this point in time on the college football season. A&M has one of those victories. They also have one of those losses. And we've talked about quality losses. Look at setback to Alabama. It's viewed in a similar sense to Clemson's loss against Notre Dame. There's no shame in it, right?
No, none.
You look at the top 5 teams, 4 of those top 5 have played each other.
So, yeah. So
quality losses are real.
Yeah, and there's no shame in that. Like you said, Notre Dame's fine. It attacks A&M's, you know, style points they're going to have to get. Maybe Ohio State slips up or they don't meet the requirement. So it's important for Texas A&M to take care of business, continue to win, and win with style.
Okay, Clemson won with style. They did exactly what was expected of them against Pitt. Clemson will take on Va Tech. If Clemson does what we expect them to do, and that's roll Virginia Tech, they lock in a rematch against Notre Dame for the ACC championship. Trevor Lawrence last week looked great, threw for over 400 yards and 2 scores against Pitt. Any room for concern Clemson in this contest at Va Tech Saturday night primetime game?
No, none. They win that game. They clinched the spot in the ACC title game against Notre Dame. So that's what we expect, and that's what we're going to get.
Biggest game of the weekend within the state of Utah, BYU, number 13, 9-0, take on number 18, Coastal Carolina. I got to touch on this briefly yesterday. Coastal Carolina is number 18 in the country. Are they a legit 18? Does the committee view them as a legit 18? Or are they 18 out of a mere formality due to the fact that the Pac-12 has had their issues, the Big Ten has had their issues, or does Coastal Carolina belong? And we will find out, but BYU will win this football game.
BYU is going to win this game big.
I believe BYU will handle Coastal Carolina. We will find out how legitimate the committee viewed Coastal Carolina on Tuesday.
Yeah, we will. I think it's just a formality, like you said, because of the Pac-12 not having the enough games teams-wise. I think that's just being generous, putting them at 18.
I would agree with that. And BYU, again, 13, not getting a lot of love from the committee. Kudos to the Cougars. They went out and they found an opponent.
Short day's notice, 2 days?
Yeah.
And you're going out there and playing, so good for them, and they're going to rout Coastal Carolina.
Look, they did the same thing against Navy. BYU did. Took that game on short rest.
Yeah.
Short notice, I should say. And in my mind, and I could be completely wrong here, and if I am, we'll talk about it on Monday, but when you take Navy on short notice, it's different than Coastal Carolina because the option is freaking tough to defend. And I thought that was a risk for BYU out of the gate, and they embarrassed Navy. And I know Navy's down. I get it.
But it's still that offense, like you said, it's just hard to prepare for on that short notice, which they did. And the same thing is going to happen tomorrow. They're going to take care of business.
BYU big over Coastal Carolina.
Yeah, yeah. I just don't see Coastal Carolina hanging with them.
Big game tomorrow night, Clemson-Vatech. If Clemson wins, it's Clemson-Notre Dame for the ACC title. That would have huge playoff implications. Bama-LSU. Bama should route LSU, I would believe.
Yeah, LSU's stinks this year. Alabama by 30.
Yeah. Out of time on this week of Drive Time.
They had
Sports.
Orgeron era, huh?
He got a natty.
Champagne and fun last year, not so much fun this year.
Joe Brady was a huge, huge part in what went down in LSU. I don't think there's any question about it. Out of time of this edition of the show. Do not forget, on our sister station coming up tonight, we get Carbon High School boys basketball. They will take the court at 7 o'clock. Live pregame coverage will begin at 6:30. He's Travis Anderson. I'm Jordan Buscarini. Be safe. We're out.